From the K2L newsroom, I'm Jamie Deep. Juno choreographer Haley Duran explores the six stages of a queen bumblebee's life cycle in Acoustic Turbulence, a new production of Orpheus Project showing this weekend. But it was also a way for Duran to reflect on the soul and journey of someone close to her. Here she is speaking on KTOO's Juno Afternoon earlier this month.
I was researching ancient Egyptian mythology, and they believed that bees represented the journey of the soul. And that really spoke to me. You know, this last year, my grandmother is in her last chapter of life. We're helping her die gracefully. And to me, that just that premise really spoke to me, because I was like, there, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to use my grandmother as kind of my muse. She is my queen bumblebee.
All the original music, poetry, and choreography of Acoustic Turbulence stems from this concept in a narrative Duran wrote based on it. Duran, who's been choreographing and watching and dancing in Juno since 2012, joined Orpheus Project last year. She's the writer and director of Acoustic Turbulence, as well as the choreographer, working with several dancers, creating what she calls a whole new vocabulary.
We spent a lot of time figuring out, okay, what does a bumblebee flying around look like in our bodies if we are bumblebees? And you start to feel just different parts of your body activate. You know, who knew my shoulder blades could express deep sorrow? But they can.
Duran collaborated with many Juno artists for the production, like composers William Todd Hunt, Spencer Edgars, and Alina Levy, and Juno poet Dita Devi. Acoustic Turbulence, a production of music, dance, visual art, and poetry, plays this Saturday and Sunday at Thunder Mountain Middle School's auditorium. Find more information about the show, as well as tickets at orpheusproject.org. A large gravel lot in the heart of downtown Juno's tourism corridor has sat empty for years, but that might soon change. As KTOO's Clarice Larson reports, an applicant is seeking city approval to transform the property into a two-story retail store and an immersive theater experience for cruise ship tourists.
On Tuesday, the city's planning commission will consider whether to approve a conditional use permit for the construction of a two-story retail and entertainment building called Alaska Fly and Dive. According to the permit application, the project would bring tourists coming off cruise ships into an immersive theater experience of Alaska's natural wonders, like local glaciers and underwater adventures. The development would include three large interactive theaters/rides, a retail store, and some office space. The project, estimated to cost at least $60 million, with the hopes of opening in 2027, would turn into a civic and education venue in the tourism off-season.
I know it's private property. They should be allowed to develop as they do, but I just don't know that it will benefit Juno as I know it, or the Juno that is here after the tourists leave.
That's former Juno Assemblymember Lauren Jones. Back in 2019, the Juno Assembly negotiated a land swap with property owner Morris Communications so that the city could develop bus staging and additional pedestrian space along the Seawalk. Plans for Morris Communications to develop something on that property have been discussed for at least close to a decade. Jones voted against the land trade deal. He was skeptical about how any development there would benefit the community as a whole. At the time of the deal, a representative for the property said they wanted to develop the lot into retail shops and restaurants starting in 2020. That never happened. Instead, the nearly one-acre property adjacent to the downtown library and parking garage, along South Franklin Street and under the watchful eyes of the Elizabeth Peratrovich mural, has remained largely empty. That's despite the property's extreme proximity to where 1.7 million cruise ship tourists walk off ships and into downtown Juno each summer. Jones says he's not totally against the current Alaska Fly and Dive project, but he needs more convincing that it will actually benefit Juno.
I don't see anything in there that tells me that somebody in the middle of winter is going to leave their home in the valley and go. I can't imagine any of us going down in the middle of winter to take a simulated boat ride or a simulated submarine ride.
Still, the new project has received letters of support from the Juno Economic Development Council, Travel Juno, the Downtown Business Association, and the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. According to its application with the city, the development is in collaboration with Melvern Entertainment, a company that develops theater attractions for Disney, Universal Studios, and Six Flags. Liz Perry with Travel Juno says she's excited to see the empty lot turn into something new.
This would be a terrific year-round addition to our offerings for both visitors and for residents. It will create something that hasn't been in that lot.
And before you ask, no, they're not planning on building any housing there, at least not in this application. Alex Pierce is Juneau's visitor industry director. She says she thinks the project could help with managing the number of tourists that come to town each day in the summer.
I think having something downtown on the waterfront that's indoors and helps manage congestion by pulling people into an activity is a positive thing.
The applicant for the permit is Reuben Willis, a local insurance agent for State Farm. He declined an interview with KTOO to speak about the project before the meeting on Tuesday. Morris Communications has also not responded to multiple requests for comment. The Juneau Planning Commission will decide on whether to approve a conditional use permit for the project's construction, along with two other variance requests related to the project, on Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. at City Hall. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
In a recent budget meeting, the Juneau School Board discussed adding rather than cutting positions next school year. But unsettled union contracts continue to bring uncertainty to the budget process. KTOO has more. The Juneau School Board added new positions to next year's proposed budget to support the school district's homeschool program and nursing staff during a special meeting on Thursday. Board member Steve Whitney proposed adding a full-time health assistant to the budget. District leadership recommended adding another position to give the district's lead nurse the flexibility to support all schools. Whitney says adding a position is needed to support the district's 9-person nursing staff. District staff have reported an increase in the number of students with medical needs in recent years.
From what I've seen, that's a hole the district has, and I think it's a liability, and I think we're putting kids in danger.
Board member Jenny Thomas also requested adding a counselor position for the district's homeschool program, Homebridge. The program doesn't currently have a counselor. It was requested by the program's principal. Thomas says she wants to support the 210 students expected to be enrolled in that program next school year.
They said their graduation rates were higher when they had a grad counselor, and we've seen them going back down because they lost that grant funding. So I think it's very important if we're thinking about what is best for our students and is going to help them achieve graduation that we put a counselor in there.
The $4.4 million deficit of the board's proposed budget will grow larger with the two added positions, but the board decided earlier to fill the deficit with district savings. But there are still some uncertainties. The district hasn't reached new contract agreements with its teacher and support staff unions. The current budget is based on the district's most recent offer to Juneau Education Association, the teachers union, as well as on the district's initial proposed contract for Juneau Education support staff. Kelly Harvey, a teacher at Auk Bay Elementary School and co-chair of JEA's negotiation support team, testified to the board with that reminder.
So I would just ask that you remember that you have two units that have not settled the contract, that it's just a one-year contract that's been offered to JEA, that we potentially would turn around and go into this again, and you're just going to lose more teachers, and it's the kids who suffer.
It's been more than a year since negotiations began with both unions. The district has an arbitration hearing scheduled with JEA, and Jess has been in mediation with the district. During the special meeting, there was no discussion of adding two positions that the Tlingit Culture, Language, and Literacy program could stand to lose due to ending grant funds. There had been significant public comment about adding those positions in a previous budget forum. The board will meet again about the budget on March 5th. In the meantime, members will submit priorities on what else they want to add to the budget. The public can submit feedback on the budget by emailing the board at budgetinput@junoschools.org or by completing Balancing Act, an interactive tool that lets the public build a budget and submit changes they want to see. That tool will close on March 1st. The board plans to approve the budget by March 12th. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep. And Alaska saw its 8th hottest year on record last year, with temperatures coming in a degree and a half warmer than the last 3 decades on average. That's according to a 2025 annual report released by the Alaska Climate Research Center in late January. Report author Martine Stufer is the state climatologist and a research professor at the University of Alaska Fairbanks.
Last year was a confirmation that unfortunately, warming our planet faster than we hope. That has implications, as I mentioned, ice melting, permafrost thawing, wildfires, changing of our environment.
Stufer highlighted dwindling sea ice as a top-line issue. That's because Alaska sea ice peaked in March at around 14 million square kilometers. That's bigger than the entire United States, but it's also the lowest sea ice peak recorded in the last 50 years.
It's a big area, but still it was smaller than in any year observed before. We are heading towards ice-free Arctic later this century.
The report emphasizes that the northern parts of the state are warming most rapidly, with the interior and North Slope showing the largest increases from normal temperatures. Ukiavik recorded the highest relative temperatures. Southeast Alaska, meanwhile, had a near-average annual temperature last year, but far less snow than is typical. Juneau received just half its average snowfall in 2025 due to frequent midwinter rain and snowmelt. Stufer noted that while Alaska in general saw warmer temperatures, it also endured other extreme weather events like wildfire activity, ex-typhoon Halong, and an intense widespread December cold snap.
I had one person asking me, are we heading into an ice age now? Of course not. We are heading into a warmer phase on a global scale.
That extreme variability across the state, he says, is becoming more common as temperatures rise with climate change. And over at the Juneau International Airport, it is 28 degrees and mostly cloudy. And tonight, there is a low expected of 14 degrees with decreasing clouds. There's also a high wind warning in effect from now until Sunday night. You can expect to see northeast winds of 25 to 35 miles per hour with frequent gusts near 60 to 80 miles per hour. And occasional gusts near 90 miles per hour are possible around downtown Juneau and South Douglas. This is KTOO.